discussing a few more ideas about Lag BaOmer. All right, first thing, let's discuss. Lag BaOmer today has become synonymous with Rashmi. Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Let's discuss, and the way we refer to Lag BaOmer in relation to Rashbi is, we call it the Yoima Dehilula. What does those words mean? The day of Hilula. I mean, what does that mean exactly? Tonight is going to be bonfires, and they're going to be singing Bar Yochai. Nimshachto Ashrecha, Shemensaho Soy Mechavecha. Okay, what is the Pid? One year we spent time, we went to the Pid word by word, once upon a time, but we never discussed it. It's called Yoima de Hilula. The Yoima, the day of Hilula of Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. And by extension, people have borrowed from this term and used it in reference to other yard sites. Yard sites of other holy people. What exactly does it mean? What exactly does it mean, this term? So the truth is, it's not at all simple. And there's a collection of translations for this word Hilula, and the translations are very diverse, which bring to mind an entirely different attitude as to what you're trying to accomplish by commemorating the day, this day, in its relationship to Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. The first translation of the word Hilula comes from the word joy. It's a variation, a cousin of the word Hallel. Hallel v'hoyde. Everyone knows that we say Baruch Atah Hashem Lekeinoch Masher Kedoshanu B'mitzvah Sivanu Likro Es HaHallel. To read the Hallel. Pesach is the Hallel. So it represents... The microphone is falling off. Very hard to move the microphone. I have to fix the microphone. I have a new holder. I have to just install it. But it means... Hallel means to praise. And if the word Hallel means praise, so what are we doing then? What are we doing? It's the day to give praise to Rashbi. Okay, it's not just a day of observance of his yard site. We're not observing his yard site. What we're doing on this day is we're here to give praise, to acknowledge his greatness and sing his praises. Just like we have Hallel to Hashem on Pesach, today is a day, Lag BaOmer is a day where we commemorate Hilula de Rashbi. It's a day to praise him. How do you praise Rashbi? Piyutim. There are a collection of piyutim and zemirois and songs which all focus on his greatness. What is it, and why do we praise him? What's the purpose of praising him? Why do we idolize him? Because there's something to learn from him, to emulate him. What do we emulate about Rashbi? What's the prime thing we emulate about Rashbi? His devotion to the study of Torah. By far, that is the overwhelming characteristic of Rashbi. Rashbi was a fugitive. Good or bad, is there something relevant for us to learn from his approach to the government? I would say no. I would say don't go there. It's not for our generation to learn from him to be a rebel. I don't think that's a very good idea. I don't think, even if there is some element that may be practical, it's a very dangerous, slippery slope in our generation to focus on for the average person. So I would stay far, far away of praising his rebellious nature against the government. That's not very relevant for us today. But what is very relevant for us is his devotion to Torah under every circumstance. He was in a situation where he was in quarantine. He imagine he was in quarantine, he was in lockdown. He was in lockdown for 13 years. He could not leave. And they didn't have a home delivery in those days where you can go online and order every mishigas, anything that you want. There was no Zoom. There was no social interaction. He sat in a cave for 13 years He only had one pair of clothing. He took off the clothing, so it should not wither, and he buried himself in sand. And he spent the entire day learning Torah. Devoted, a devoted person to the study of Torah. Mesiras nefesh for Torah. That is something to emulate. That is something to emulate, that a person under every circumstance should not lose faith, should maintain his emun Hashem even in the most difficult, trying times of his life. That is something very powerful. That is something that we praise him. We praise him. We praise, we acknowledge the fact that he excelled in his learning of Torah. And it's called Yoma Dihilula Darash, the day to praise this holy person. That's one translation. Another translation is the word Hilula means, it means a marriage. Okay, I'll give you, there's a Chazal. The Gemara says, Agra, it's a famous piece of Gemara, famous Gemara. Agra debei hilula mile. What do those words mean? The reward that a person will receive in the next world for going to a wedding is the words of encouragement that he says to the bride and groom. No, everything you do in this world is an investment in the Olam Haba. You're not supposed to think about it. You're not supposed to, you know, serve, live a life like that. You know, it's not a good approach where everything you do, okay, I'm looking for reward. It says in the Mishnah, having a shamish, a sarav, I'm not shaloy lekabel pras. Don't live a life where everything you do, you want to receive reward in the next world. That's not a healthy way to live. You live l'shem shemayim, and don't worry, Hashem will reward you. Don't make that the focus of your life to receive reward. That's not the focus. Don't worry, it will be reward, but don't focus. You just do what you're supposed to do. And the Gemara is, so you go to a wedding. When a person goes to a wedding, why are you wasting your time? Why don't you stay home with your children and learn with them? Why don't you learn with your grandchildren? Call up your grandchildren every night. I know a certain rabbi, I see him every night, it's very interesting, he's interesting. Every night, he calls up, one of his grandchildren calls him up, and he learns with him every night. A very big rabbi. He learns, he doesn't, he sits in the base medish in the corner. He doesn't bother anyone, on the phone. And he learns for 20 minutes every night. It sounds like he's learning with a kid in elementary school, someone in fourth grade, fifth grade. He learns with them very slowly. He helps them with Mishnayos, the grandfather. So when you're going to a wedding, you're wasting your time. Who needs you to go to the wedding? Stay home, learn with your grandchildren on the telephone, or whatever, do something else. What's the focus of going to a wedding? So the Gemara says, the focus of going to a wedding is not to fill up your stomach with poisonous food. It's not to dance. It's not to go deaf from the loud noise. The purpose of going to the wedding are the mile. Mile means to approach the bride and groom and say to them something nice. Say something pleasant. Give them words of encouragement. This is an ancient halacha. Agra, the reward, debei hilula, of a wedding ceremony is mile, are the kind, gracious words that you recite in the presence of the chasm and kala as encouragement to them. And that's a very powerful lesson. Go to a wedding, you know, it's not, you know, it's to encourage them with words. However that will translate into the 21st century, so be it. What do we need for our purposes today? We see in the Talmud, without a shadow of a doubt, that the word Hilula means a wedding. A wedding. So tonight, there are celebrations all over the world celebrating the Hilula Derashmi. Lag Ba'omer is the Yom Hilula Derashmi. What? If the word Hilula in the Talmud literally means a wedding, Rashmi got married tonight. Going to his wedding tonight? He's dead. Well, what does this mean, a wedding? So the answer is, this is really a chassidish stuff, but it's mamash feirush in the Gemara, these are the words, is that when Rashbi left this world, leaving this world is called a wedding. It's like really spooky stuff. not my type of stuff, but you can't avoid it, because that's what it's called. It's a, what is a wedding? Wedding represents unification, represents bonding, the bonding of two individuals, commitment. A man and a woman commit themselves to one another. Okay, it's a serious deal. If every chassan kala really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't get married. If they were smart, it wouldn't happen. Marriage wouldn't happen. You have to be foolish to get married. Because the commitment is unbelievable. What you really, you're committing yourself to this person for the rest of your life, no matter what. In this world and in the next world. And the woman is committing herself to this man for the rest of her life, in this world and the next world. It's a very powerful concept. Yichud, commitment, the bonding of two individuals to one another. When a person leaves this world, it's not a marriage in the sense of a celebration of Noah, but it's the concept, it's the bonding. It is the unification. You say in the L'shem Yichud Kudosh Abrichu U'shechintei B'dechilu L'yached Shem Yudkei B'vavkei. It's bonding. When the neshama leaves this world, it bonds with its mokoim that it created for itself in the next world. Everything a person does in this world, he's creating a home for himself in the next world. And when he leaves this world, there's an act of bonding with what he has created for himself. So the word hilula, it's not just for Rashbi, it represents a person's, the anniversary of his bonding, his yichud. The word hilula is used for any type of bonding. Okay, we use the word yichud. We use the word yichud in reference to a wedding. So we say in the Gemara, agra the bei hilula, the reward for the bei hilula, which means a wedding, because a wedding is an act of bonding between a chassan and a kala. But the word does not mean wedding; it just means unification. So we borrow the term unification in reference to a man and a woman who are bonding. But that same term can be used in reference to a neshama that leaves his body and bonds itself with the world where he came from, or that he created for himself by Torah mitzvahs. So therefore, a yahrzeit is called Yoima Dehilula, a day where the neshama leaves and it bonds with its mokoim in the Olam HaEmes, the Olam HaNeshamas. Okay, so that's really two perushim. So we perish them one again, and one is praise. We praise this fellow, and the purpose of praising the fellow is to draw attention to his good deeds, which we should emulate, which we want to follow, and then we have this other idea of bonding. A third translation is, it means light. That's probably why, another reason to add to our, yesterday, five reasons. Here's another reason. It's called Yom Hilula. The word Hilel, Hilula means or, where it's a pasuk. Hilel ben Shochar, the morning star. You find the pasuk Hilel ben Shochar. Ben means a star that appears in the sky right before ben Shochar, Shochar Shacharis. Shochar, the morning, the very early morning. Okay, those that are familiar with these things, astronomy, astrology, you're into this type of stuff. I'm not into this type of stuff, whatever this is, but people, they look into the stars, they see all the different things. What?
Morgan Stern.
Morning star. The morning star is a certain light in the sky in a very specific location, which those that are familiar with these things know the morning is about to begin. The morning star. And the expression in the Talmud to describe the morning star, I think it's a pasuk, is Hillel ben Shochar. So what do we take out of this pasuk? The word Hillel means light. So when we say that today is the Hilula of Rashbi, it means the light of Rashmi. And then what does that mean? The light of what do you mean? What light? So I'm assuming it means that when Rashmi died, on the day of his death, he revealed, he gave over to the world his accomplishments. Rashmi was immersed in study of Torah, and through his Amelus, the Torah, he was able to connect with the other world and bring down to this world insight. You don't have to talk about Kabbalah and Zohar. Just say it in simple words. He worked very hard. He produced. He published. He was a prolific author. Hey, he published books. He was Mechadesh. And he delved deeply into the words of Torah, and he left over Chidushei Torah. The Chidushei Torah happened to take on the form of Kabbalah, which is the secrets of the Torah which have greatly enhanced the quality of our life. And the knowledge of what he has passed on to us has enlightened us, has awakened us, has given us vistas of knowledge and insight and happiness in understanding what the purpose of this world is all about. That until Rashmi was able to accomplish this, we were living in the dark. We were walking around like zombies. And he has enlightened us with a greater appreciation of what this world is all about, what our purpose is, what all the great insights. So we refer to the day of his death. When a person dies, he basically, that's it. I've done everything that I can. My time is up. This is what I have accomplished. Here it is. Here it is. Benefit from my accomplishments. It's all yours. And indeed, we did benefit. We were enlightened. So we refer to the day of his yahrzeit as like the Hillel ben Shochar, the morning star, the light of Rashmi. We celebrate his accomplishments in how he has enlightened our eyes. Okay, and there's another translation. Let me just find, I think there's one more translation which for some reason I'm getting all confused. I already told you three translations. And here it says, it means joy, I told you, and it means another, let's go back, one word it means to eulogize, it means praise. So I think I told you them all. I think there are a total of four. Let's just do very quickly. Here in the Sefer I'm using, he presents here four different translations of the word hilula. One is halal, praise. I take that back. That's not what I really meant to say. I'm sorry. There are three. I'm sorry for all the confusion. There are really three. Basically, there are three. Hilula, it means praise. We praise Rashmi, and we want to emulate his good deeds, his accomplishments, his Mesiras Nefesh. Number two, Hilula means unification. The day a person dies, he is bonds with where his neshama will now connect. The yitzrar bitzror hachayim. May his neshama be bound in the bond of life. Okay, it means yichud. And you find that explicitly in the Talmud when it comes to a wedding. Agra debei hilula milei. The reward of going to a wedding, the reward one will receive in the next word are the kind words that he says to encourage the chasen kala. And again, the third translation, it means light. Okay, so we're going to be satisfied now for these three translations of the word hilula. Hilula, the Rashmi, the praise of Rashmi. Number two, the bonding of Rashmi with his source in heaven. And number three, the light, what he has given us. If you notice, these three translations like three different dimensions. The first translation of praise, it represents, we're describing him. When we speak about bonding, it's not just him, it's in heaven, in whom in heaven he's bonding with. And the third translation is us, selfish. It's the light of Rashmi, which we derive benefit from. So it's either with praising him, or we're praising his destination. It's not just him, it's who he's uniting with. And number three, it's describing the selfish real translation is that he has given us light. By leaving this, when he left this world, he illuminated the world with much light. Okay, that concludes this topic, another short topic. Is Lag BaOmer truly the day that he died? This is a very, very big debate. Many of the Rishonim explicitly state that it is. That on Lag BaOmer, Rashbi's neshama left his body. And it's his yahrzeit. All right, fine. That's what it is. In Kabbalah hi nikabel. If that's what the tradition is, if that's the legacy, even though we don't have a proof, there's no proof to this, absolutely not. But if that's the tradition, we assume that our parents did not lie to us, and our grandparents did not lie to our parents, and our great-grandparents did not lie to our grandparents, and our great-great-grandparents did not lie to our great-grandparents, and so on and so forth, even though we can't prove it. There's absolutely no proof to this fact that he died on Lag BaOmer, but if this is the tradition, so be it. The problem, though, is it doesn't say anywhere that he died on this day. And in fact, I don't know the details. I remember Dr. Friedman many years ago, he was talking to me about this. I don't know the details, but it seems that there could be some source that indicates he didn't die on this day. He died another time of the year. And in fact, some of the bigger experts in this matter, they strongly suggest that it's not the day that he died. It's just a day, for whatever reason, that was selected to commemorate this person. Like, I know, I'll give you, like let's say, talk about Medinas Yisrael. Why do they celebrate Atzmaut on Hei Iyar? Oh, very simple. Because Hei Iyar is the day when the United Nations voted that there should be they declared their independence, and it was like the United Nations.
Was in November.
They declared their independence. I don't know. They declared their independence on
ER,
and when was the vote? What was
the
Hei Iyar?
No, like November.
Oh, wasn't the Hei Iyar? Okay. It was the day they. I don't even know any history. Fine, I'm totally ignorant. But it's the day of the Declaration of Independence. Okay, I understand. It's not virtually a specific date. Okay, I got it. What about Yom HaShoah, the day to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust? Oh, that's very controversial. Okay, so in the Haredi world, they don't want to know from this. There is no Yom HaShoah? What are you talking about? They only know Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the only day we commemorate Jewish tragedy. Fine, I understand. I understand. I'm part of that world. I have no problem. I fully understand 100%. But there are other Jews, Achim B'nei Yisrael, that decided to make a day, Chaf Hei Nisan. Right? They decided to select a day. Why did he decide on that day? Why? There must be a reason. Okay, so they selected the Warsaw Uprising. Okay, they have a reason. There's a method. There's a reason why they took... Holocaust went on for 6 years. Holocaust was a horrific event that went on for 6 years. 6 years of murder, nonstop. So you can take any day. Why this day? Why that day? Any day. They have to select a day. So you have to... So they decide they want to select this day. Okay, I get it. Why Lag BaOmer? If Rashbi died, I don't know when he died. When did he die? No one knows. No one really knows when he died. Okay, if there's a tradition that he died, okay, I accept the tradition, I believe. You have to have a moon. If you don't have a moon, you can have nothing. You have to believe. If there's no tradition, then there's no tradition, fine. But that means a day was selected in the calendar. This is the day that we want to select to commemorate his departure from the world, because we don't even know when he died. So we don't know when he died, and we want to celebrate, we want to commemorate his death, because there's a lot to learn from Rashi. Rashi has a lot to teach us, especially about dealing with life in Golus and rebelling against Medina, right? This whole thing we discussed yesterday. There's a lot to learn in many dimensions. We got to pick a day, so you know what? The day to pick is going to be Lag BaOmer. Why? It's a mystery. I don't know why that day was selected. Some want to suggest everything is Amuni. Is that the day when he came out of the cave? It's not the day that he died. The tradition is Rashbi was released. He got the baskel from heaven, came out and said, enough. The people who want you dead are gone. You can come out of the cave. There was a baskel that came forth and said, the time has come. That is the tradition. And therefore, when we're going to commemorate who this person was, we're going to commemorate on the day when he came out of the cave. Now, if that is true, everything is speculation. There is no clarity in this matter whatsoever. It's all speculation. The facts are Lag BaOmer is the day that we do commemorate the Hilulah day of Rashbi. Why? Did he die? That's the tradition. Good, good. That's the tradition. By the way, if that's when he died, then there's a tradition. That's when he was born. Because we have a tradition by Tzadikim. That Hashem is Mamala Yama Vishnaisav. The day that a person dies is the day that they were born. And if this holy person died on Lag BaOmer, it must that he was born on Lag BaOmer. That's a day for celebration. Or is it the day that he came out of the cave? Okay. If it is the day that he came out of the cave, then I think this is a chiddush that I want to present to you. There's a lot of assumptions here. There are a lot of assumptions we make. Lingual here is that he did not die on Lag BaOmer. And we're commemorating a specific day in the year. And the day of Lag BaOmer was selected because that was the day when the baskel came forth from heaven and said, it's time to leave. So you know what that means? Lag BaOmer is a day of the baskel. It's not so much Rashbi. There's a baskel. There's a voice from heaven that goes forth and gives us messages. Chazal say that when Nevuah, prophecy, came to an end, there was still a baskel. Hashem did not totally deny us divine communication. Hashem allowed there to be some minor form of communication. Okay, we have prophets. You go to the prophet. He has a direct connection, wireless connection. I always wondered who was the service provider of the Navi. Was it Sprint? Verizon? Was it T-Mobile? A Navi had a wireless connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the service provider? Verizon? Who is the service provider? I'm sure you can have all you can make. You can pay. Who was the service? How much did the Navi pay? What was he paying a month for his service fee? Long distance. Gotta go all the way up. Seven heavens, right? It's long distance. Okay. I'm joking around with you, obviously. The Nevuah came to an end. The era of prophecy came to an end. Chazal tell us it's too much of a shock for the Jewish people to be cut off from a direct communication. It has to go in stages. So what was the stage? A baskel. A voice came out of heaven, instructing people. And throughout the Gemara, all over the Gemara, do we have these very interesting, bizarre stories about a baskel. And at the time of the Gemara, baskel was, you can actually hear the words. You can hear the words being pronounced. The enunciation of the words was crystal clear. It's a baskel. Now here's the question I ask you. Did the baskel come to an end? When Nevuah was taken away and it was replaced by a baskel, does that mean, okay, there was a baskel? The baskel lasted for a few hundred years into the Bayis Sheni, and maybe into the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, but by the Chasima Satalmud, no more baskel. Here in the Gemara tells about a baskel all over by the Tanoim. So the baskel was still going 500 years after Nevuah came to an end. There was no doubt about it. It was a baskel during the Tanoim. The Tanoim were about 500 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the baskel was going strong for 500 years. So even though there were no prophets to go talk to and have a direct conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you had a voice of heaven. So does that mean when the Talmud Bavli came to an end, let's say in the year 500 after the Churban, so does that mean that 1,500 years ago, that's it? No more Bas Kol? So I want to suggest to you, no. The Bas Kol never came to an end. The only difference is that we're not on a level where we're able to hear the words from heaven clearly enunciated. But every Gemara says is a Bas Kol ben Yoytze in the Beis HaMikdash. Oy, Labonai, woe to my children, I destroy their house. There's a Bas Kol today in the year, the secular year 2021, that's Yoytze, that is giving us messages equivalent to what the prophets would say to us. The only difference is, it's not in the form of a human being, because we have no prophets. And the Bas Kol, unfortunately, is no longer, we're not on a level where we can hear the words of the Bas Kol, because we don't merit. But the Bas Kol takes on a different form. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. He speaks to the world through actions, through events, corona, through world wars, through unusual situations, through what appears to be coincidences. Now, do you hear the words? No. Is Hashem speaking? Yes. Are we able to decipher what Hashem is saying? Unfortunately, no. No, we're not. But is there noise? Is there a message being sent? There sure is. There sure is. And that's a sign of life. Like you talk to someone on the cell phone, you go on Zoom, and the guy has a horrible connection, and all you hear are these squeaky sounds. I can't hear a word you're saying, but at least we're connected. At least we're in the right, you're in the right meeting room. At least I can see you. I don't know what in the world you're saying. I can't hear just these high-pitched squeaks that are annoying, that are coming through because your internet connection is horrible, or my internet connection is horrible, but at least we're connected. That's the Bas Kol that continues to echo today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Unfortunately, we live in sin, so we don't know, we can't make out what Hashem is saying. We have no idea what He's trying to tell us, but there's a reassurance. At least we're connected. Lag be'oimer, more than we commemorate Rashbi, is a day to commemorate the Bas Kol. Because we're making these assumptions. When did Rashbi die? In Kabbalah, he died in the Lag be'oimer Gvaldik. Was celebrating his yard site. Unbelievable. Not everyone agrees to that. Not everyone agrees that he died in Lag B'Omer. So why then are you celebrating Lag B'Omer? A day of commemoration for Rashbi. Oh, very nice. Why today? Why not tomorrow? Why not Hanukkah? Why not Rosh Chodesh Iyar? Why did you select Lag B'Omer? Tradition. It's the day when he left the cave. Oh, he left the cave after 13 years of being a fugitive. He got out of solitary confinement in a supermax prison. Why did he get out on that day? What happened on that? Was he released from the cave? Well, this the Gemara says. Because it was on that day a Bas Kol was Yoytze and said, get out. Your sentence is up. Go, you're free to go. Oh, a Bas Kol. Rashbi is not alive today. Long gone. No one came back to tell us what he's doing up there. But he hasn't been seen for almost 2,000 years. No one saw him. He's gone. Unless you like these Hasidic stories that will tell you that if you go to Meiron, you'll see this guy walking around. Oh, that's Rashi. Unless you go for that stuff, fine, you like that. But these stories are hilarious. A guy, I read the story yesterday, a guy was in Neiron, and he was dancing on the roof, and he fell off the roof, and he broke his foot, and he was excruciating pain, and no one even noticed. And there was a fellow that came to help him, and he saw, so he went to go get a doctor. He traveled on a horse and buggy to go find the doctor. He finally came back with the doctor, and the chole was not to be found. What happened to the chole? He was in excruciating pain. He goes and he sees he's dancing away on the top of the roof. What happened to you? He says, I'll tell you, I was waiting for you. I was in excruciating pain, and this old man said to me, you know who I am? I'm Rashi. You came here to be Misameach. How could you have an accident? How could I let this happen? Here, let me heal you. And he healed me, and now I'm back better. Okay, if you like these stories, good. I'm not going to challenge you if you like these stories. But as far as I know, Rashi has not been seen on this earth for almost 2,000 years. As far as I know. If I would see Rashi, see a ghost, I don't know what I would do. I'll lose my mind. Okay? Rashi has been gone. So what are you celebrating Lag BaOmer for? Because even though Rashi is gone, the Baskol is alive and well. The Baskol, the communication that we have with Hashem, the Baskol, the messages, there Hashem is tweeting away. You think Trump knows how to tweet? The Ribbono Shel Olam. He tweets 24/7. The only problem is we have no idea what he's tweeting. We can't figure out what he's saying. We cannot figure, but one thing we know for sure, that Baskol, the messages that are coming to us from world events, from unusual situations, things that happen, this is a Baskol. This never came to an end. And that is what we celebrate. We latch on to Rashi. Rashi, he heard the Baskol. He heard Hashem tell him, get out. And he left. And he came and revealed all his Torah to us. Where is Rashi? I don't know, he's gone. But the Baskol that got him out of that cave, that's here today. Listen to the news, you're hearing a Baskol. You're seeing things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much communicating with us. That's the celebration of Lag BaOmer. Okay, now let's go to another idea. Okay, let me just tell you a little interesting, about, I don't know how much it relates so much, and that is about his birth. His birth is discussed. For some reason, it's a very fascinating this story about Yochai. Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, this is the legend. I don't even know where it's cited. I have over the whole page of the story. How was he born, Rashi? What was Rashi, the name of Rashi's mother? So there are chilukei days. So Yushalmi, simply, Pasha says her name was Sarah. Her name was Sarah. And his father was Yochai. By the way, there are three ways to spell Yochai. Some just spell it Yud without the Yud at the end. Yoch maybe with another letter, no Yud. Yocha, I already forgot. Some spell Yochai with the Yud at the end, and then there are places where it's spelled Yochai with an Aleph Yud. Now, Bishim Bar Yochai in Aleph Yud, some places in Aleph Yud, some in Aleph Yud. They have actually a listing, a counting of all the different places in the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi where it's spelled with an Aleph, and all the places that's spelled without an Aleph. And in Yerushalmi, I think there's a place there where there's one place in Mesh that's been spelled none of the above. Okay, but his mother's name was Sarah, and the story is that Yochai was married to this woman, Sarah, for many, many years, and they did not have children. They were childless. And Yochai decided, he's been married, the time has come, he has to either divorce his wife or take a second wife to have children, to Makayim B'mitzvah Pri U'Revi'ah. And his wife found out. His wife discovered that her husband is about to divorce her, about to take a second wife. She had enormous pain. And she was mispalel from the depths of her heart to Hashem that this should not happen. Shortly thereafter, Yochai had a dream. And in the dream, he was in an orchard. And there were lots of trees. There were all different types of trees. Trees that were filled with fruit and leaves. And there were some dead trees. Trees that had no paris. They were withering away. And in walks into this garden an old man. And he has a big container of water. And he passes by each tree. He looks at the tree, and some of the trees he pours water. And some trees he just passes by. He doesn't pour water. He passes some trees. Every tree he looks at, he makes a decision what to do. And then he noticed that the trees that he poured water on, even the dead trees, they came back to life. They flourished. They immediately produced fruit and became healthy. And the trees that he passed by, nothing, they just withered away. And then this person came to a specific dead tree, and he looked at it, and he didn't just take the regular container of water to pour on the tree. He took out of his pocket a little flask, a teeny little flask of liquid. He opened up the flask and he poured the flask on the tree. And suddenly that tree blossomed with the most luscious, beautiful fruit that man has ever seen. And then Yochai, he woke up. Vayikotz v'hinei chaloyim. He wakes up his wife and he tells his wife, I had a dream. And let me tell you the interpretation. I'll tell you the interpretation of the dream. The garden was the garden of the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. And there were all different types of people, different families. Some of them, unfortunately, are not meant to have children. And there are trees that are withering away, there are no payrolls. Those people are not meant to have children. And there are some that are, some of those trees, this malach, this angel, he took out a flask, his big container, and he poured water on those, and they produce fruit. There are people that are zeicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides he wants them to have children. And the malach was dispatched, no, these people should also have children. But the malach doesn't water every single tree. And then he came to a certain tree, and he said to his wife, this tree that I saw was you. This was you. And on this tree, the malach, he took out a special flask of water, and he watered it. And it blossomed. It blossomed like none other. And that to me is the sign that you, my wife, will shortly bear fruit, will have a child. I'm not getting divorced. I'm not taking a second wife. I'm going to remain. But there's one thing about this dream that bothers me, and I do not know. Why did the malach take out a special flask to water this tree? Why didn't the malach water this tree from the regular container that he was using to water all of the other trees? I don't know why. I don't understand what's that all about. So his wife said, let's go to Rabbi Akiva for him to interpret this part of the dream. So Yochai said, excellent, let's go. And they went to Rabbi Akiva and they told Rabbi Akiva the entire dream. And Yochai told Rabbi Akiva his interpretation of the dream. And he said to Rabbi Akiva, the part that we're coming to ask you is why the flask? So Rabbi Akiva said, you have interpreted the dream correctly. And let me tell you why he took out a special flask. this tree would not have grown from the regular container of water that the Malach had in his possession. And the flask was a special potion that was needed to bring the tree to life. What was in that flask? Your wife's tears. Your wife's tears. That's what's in the flask. And that's why this tree will blossom like none other. Okay, that's the story, the legend. The legend of the birth of Rashi. Let me tell you where it is. Give me one moment. I'll tell you it's important to know where it is. Right? This is the famous story of the birth of Rashi. Told by Yisav. Here it is. Here's the story. And Vatis Sarah Karav Lenifka Babonim. So where is the story come from? Hatana Lekai Yashiv Lekai Ali Dosam Simb Sefer Nachlas Avos Mishain Sefer Maasiois Kisvayat. Here it's some old Sefer. The Rebbe Meshash Zatzal Chil Gimel Drushkov Memvav Avos Mishain in the name of a Sefer called Sefer Maasiois from the Kisvayat, the manuscript. What kind of sefer is this? It's a very famous story. I've seen this before. It's a legend. It's a legend. It doesn't seem like it has authenticity of a medrash, not a gemara, not a medrash. Take it what it's worth. Everything about Rashi is all legends. Kuf Mem Gimel. What is this? Muva Bezer HaKadosh and Pinchas Ben Yoyer. What do we all see over here? No. Okay, it's all I got. It seems like it's ancient. I guess it's the same thing. You haven't found it online?
Something with Breslin.
No, not Breslin. No. It's the name is called. It really is Nachalas Ovis. Okay, the sefer is called.
Yeah, but that's not the original source.
Nachalas Ovis is citing. The one who is the author of Nachlas Avos is Rabbi Yehuda Meshash. Mem Shin Aleph Shin.
Sephardic.
No, it's not, this does not, cannot be modern. This has to be an ancient Sefer. Mishem Sefer Ma'asiyos Kisvayat. Okay, I don't know more on this. He cites the whole story in very great detail. Okay, that's a legend. I saw this. This is a legend. Whatever you believe it or not, that I can't do more than that. That's all. This is what it says. All right, but it's quite a Musa Haskel. Okay, it's quite a Musa Haskel, and it's interesting that on the Lag BaOmer, it really changed the nature of the koyach of tefillah, That's a whole new element to the story of Rashi to appreciate where he comes from. Now, we have a few minutes left. I want to just say another idea, something which I find very interesting, and that is there's another very, very significant yard site on Lag BaOmer in Klal Yisrael, and that is the Ramah. Rabbi Moshe Isserles. Moshe Isserles lived about 350 years ago, something like that. He wrote the Ramah on Shulchan Aruch, the Mapa. The Shulchan Aruch, the table is set, was written by Rav Yosef Kairoi, who was a Sfardi, and he took a vote from the Rishonim. Every halacha that he compiled was basically the majority opinion between the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam. And two of the three were Sfardim, the Rambam and the Rif were Sfardim, and whenever there was a machlokes, he said, what's the majority? Whatever the majority is, that's going to be the halacha. And he wrote the Beis Yosef. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And at the same time that the Beis Yosef was writing the Shulchan Aruch, there was a Jew in Krakow. In Krakow that was writing, that was also working on a halachic work. But the Beis Yosef beat him to it. And And eventually it came, and eventually the work of the Beis Yosef made its way to Krakow. And the Ramah felt that the work of the Beis Yosef is not fair. It's not correct because it's tilted towards the traditions of the Sfaradim. Mm-hmm. Because the style of the Beis Yosef was to analyze, to go through the Torah, to analyze the Torah in all of the various sources, and to be machria on a majority rule of three opinions, where two of the three were of Sephardic descent, which are the minhag of the Sephardim. The Ashkenazim are not being well represented. So what did he do? He wrote comments, hagos. You have to appreciate, I once heard an historian speak, and he made a very big roshim on me. I think it was a professor in YU, I heard this on yutorah.org. He made a very powerful roshim, whoever this person was, and he said, it is impossible to appreciate what the Ramah did. In today's day and age, this would never, ever, ever happen. Today, if someone would write a sefer for the Sfaradim, and there would be some rivalry of kinas soifrim tarbe chokhma, so what would the Ashkenazim do? I'll make my own sefer. I'll make a better sefer. Okay, I'll make my own sefer. I'll give you a case in point. Dirshu, everyone knows Dirshu. Okay, Dirshu is a very powerful organization over out throughout the world. They have, you know, spoke about Dirshu in the past, good and bad. I, Baruch Hashem, was nene from Dirshu for many years. I wish I could go back and do what I would do then, take the exams, Dafyomi exams, nothing like it in the world. And they have a lot of stuff going on, Dirshu, and they put out a very impressive Mishnah Berurah with modern-day response. The Chofetz Chaim, he studied the history of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chofetz Chaim made a decision that he will not include in his work any modern-day question. He steered far away from all of the modern-day halachic controversies of the day. Electricity, there's a dime a dozen of things that the Mishnah Berurah could have spoken, Bashim Matzah. The Chofetz Chaim, he could have went and wrote in the Mishnah Berurah his opinion, his halachic opinion, and discussed all of the modern-day halachic dilemmas of the time. And he made a very deliberate decision not to. He decided to write a halachic work. He felt that it was a very great need to put together a halachic work. What is this? I'm sorry.
Is this all the
talking about? No, sorry. Different than that. So he made a very conscious decision to steer far, far away from these issues. That whatever the reason is. Now, in the 21st century, only a couple of years ago, this very powerful and very well-funded, well, it's a one-man show, that's the truth, it's just one person that funds the whole thing, and many kollelim, and they launched a project to take the Mishnah Berurah and to supplement it with basically all the modern-day questions and issues and other fill in certain things that are not in the Mishnah Berurah. Cited for all of the Gedolei Yisrael of Moshe Feinstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chazon Ish, we spend time. Remember, we started this year, we learned two Chalakim, I believe. We learned Chalak, we learned the whole Chalak Dalit, when we first started the Koyra. We learned Mishnah Berurah inside with Dirshu, the entire thing. The entire thing from cover to cover, Chalak Dalit, Dirshu, all the Dirshus. It was a lot of fun. And it got a lot of praise. There's some criticism, as you can imagine. Not everyone is happy. So you know who got jealous of this? The Sfaradim. Because the Dirshu is basically a supplement to the Mishnah Berurah for Ashkenazim. all of the things that they're quoting there on the side and in the supplementary material in the Dir Shul Mishneh Berurah is all for Ashkenazim. So what did the Sfaradim do? They launched an attack. They published already, I don't know how many volumes, 2 or 3 volumes, just like the Dir Shul, but for Sfaradim. And you know something, they did a better job. Okay, they did it, I think, who am I to say, but it's very impressive what they did. And what they did is basically a response to Dir Shul. You think you're going to make a Mishneh Berurah with the supplementary material of all the modern day questions for Ashkenazim? So we'll do it for the Sfaradim, and we'll outdo you 10 times over. And they did, in my opinion. Okay, I don't think they did all 5 volumes yet. They did very, very slow. I don't even know what it's called. They did, I think two volumes, maybe I'm wrong, maybe 1 volume. It's very impressive, very impressive. That's the way the world works. When someone does something and you want to compete, you outdo them. Let's talk in the secular world. What did Bill Gates do? Bill Gates, the Windows operating system, is a response to Microsoft, to Apple's OS, okay? Apple they were the ones, it's basically plagiarist, the whole Windows just basically copying, it's just shocking, the whole Windows just copying Steve Jobs, they just basically copied the whole Apple, Macintosh. Macintosh made it, they're the first ones to invent this visual form of using the computer, and it was a smashing success. And Bill Gates made his own version, basically just copied. Never really, Windows I'm using over here, this machine I'm using over here, not by choice, I use my whole life Windows. I love Windows, that's what I know. And then I needed a laptop, so I got a hand-me-down. I got a hand-me-down from someone, he gave me this machine I'm actually using right now, it's Macintosh. It's a whole new, took me a very long time to learn how to use it. But it's the real deal. I right away see that the Macintosh, they're the real deal. Macintosh is the operating system is much, much more robust. No comparison to Windows. Okay. When you compete, you make your own organization. The Ramah of Moshe Isserles could have, in a second, wrote his own Shulchan Aruch for Ashkenazim. The Beis Yosef wrote a Shulchan Aruch for Sfaradim. That's what he did, pretty much. He thought the Ashkenazim would accept it. They didn't accept it. So what did the Ramah do? The Ramah could, on a whim, could write a whole Shulchan Aruch for Ashkenazim. And you know what he says? No, Matt. I'm not going to do that. Out of deference, out of respect, for the Beis Yosef, I'm not going to compete with him. Instead, I'm just going to add hagohos. I'm going to add comments in his words to show my submission. I'm going to conform. I'm going to humble myself to the Beis Yosef. Such an idea is unheard of. It's unheard of. Yeah, and I didn't appreciate this until I heard this Talmud Chacham expound upon this in the Meir Yerushalmi. When you learn Shulchan Aruch, and then you go Hagah, the font changes, the different fonts. See, way before Microsoft, they changed the fonts. Okay, it's a really cutting edge. They were the printers were way ahead of their time. You have the letters. The black letters of the Machaber of the Beis Yosef, and then Hagah in Rashi letters. Change the font. They change the font to Rashi, so to Rashi letters in the middle of the words from the Ramah. His comments. This is unheard of. That Ashkenazim, we do it differently. We have a different custom. This is what the Sfaradim do. But this is our minog by Ashkenaz. He didn't just ignore the Beis Yosef and write his own work. Let's first humble ourselves and learn what the Beis Yosef decides. And then in humility, let's mention that by the Ashkenazim, we do things a little bit differently. It's amazing. That itself speaks not volumes, but encyclopedias on the humility and the greatness and the out-of-box thinking of the Ramah, of Moshe Issus. On his kever, it says, Mi Moshe ad Moshe lekom ki Moshe. That means from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rav Moshe Issus lekom ki Moshe. That's what he wrote on his kever, on his matzeva. There was no one like him. Okay, there was no one like him. Well, maybe they remember Moshe, remember the Rambam, You remember the Rambam. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the Rambam. And then from the Rambam until Rav Moshe Issus, and then from Rav Moshe Issus to the Chassam Sofer, and then from the Chassam Sofer to Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's a whole succession in the Welt of Mimoshe v'Ad Moshe. Again, Mimoshe Rabbeinu ad Moshe, the Rambam, Rav Moshe Maimon, like come to Moshe. And then Mimoshe Maimon ad Moshe Issus, like come to Moshe. And Mimoshe Issus ad Rav Moshe, the Chassam Sofer, Moshe, Chassam Sofer, Lekom Ki Moshe. And from the Chassam Sofer, Mi Moshe, Ad Moshe Feinstein, Lekom Ki Moshe. He was dealing with him with people that are beyond, their minds were open wide, beyond our wildest imagination. And Moshe, then, why am I telling you all this? His yard site is tomorrow. I'm not going there. Now this really stands out to me. If you ask me, who is the most esoteric and mystical person in all of Judaism that you know that plays a role in our yearly cycle, I will tell you it's Rashbi. Rashbi, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand any of this mysticism. Go to Meiron. And they roam there, you know, you pray for Shidduchim, you pray for these things. It's a place of mystics, of supernatural. What's this all about? Making fires and Bar Yochoi, Moshachta, Ashrecha, Shem and Sosnech Averecha, Zohar, the day that he died, he was Megale, the Sisrei Torah, the Zohar. I can't even break my teeth to read a few words of Zohar. I don't know what in the world is going on. This is totally, in my mind, way out there. Another world that I have absolutely no connection to. Rashbi, Kabbalah, you know, these mystical things. Do you know in Judaism who is the most down-to-earth, the most normal, the most practical, the person that you wouldn't give you walk in the street, you wouldn't give him a second look. You would think he's just like, you know, an old man walking in the street. Rav Moshe Issus, the Ramah. The Ramah was the most simplest, down-to-earth person you probably ever in your life would ever meet. Ad kedei kach, and you know what he would do on Purim? They said this by his Levaya. He died in Lag BaOmer. That's a fact. He died on Lag BaOmer. That no one disputes. And the Maspid wanted to say 32 praises of the Ramah. So he said 33. So he said 32. And he forgot. He couldn't figure out something nice to say 33. I want to say in honor of the Ramah who died today on Lag BaOmer. Chocham, you Maspid Chocham, Befanov on Lag BaOmer. It's Lag BaOmer, so let me say for you 33 words of praise. 33. Number one, he did this. Number two, number three, number four. He got to number 32, and then he got to 33, and he didn't know what to say. Okay, this is a historical fact. The Maspid got to 33, he didn't know what to say. And then he remembered, oh, I have what to say. I remember that every year Purim, after he finished eating the su'uda of Purim, he put on a mask and he went out to all the neighbors knocking on the door Don't forget to daven Ma'ariv. Don't forget to daven Ma'ariv. The Godol Hador. Can you imagine Rav Moshe Feinstein coming, knocking all the doors, going around Flatbush, knocking all the doors? Don't forget. And he doesn't want to go, you know, you don't want to be seen there. You don't want to embarrass anyone. But the Godol Hador is knocking on your door. Don't forget to daven Ma'ariv. So he put on a mask. He took it from the children. He took a mask lying on the floor. He took a put on a mask. No one should see who he was. When knocking on all the doors, don't forget to daven Ma'ariv. Do you understand how simple he was? The degree of simplicity? He was a legend. A legend, I'll just tell you one thing, that in Krakow there was a takana, you're not allowed to get married on Friday. You know why that happened? There was a Maisa Shahaya, a Chosin Kala Yisoyma. They were about getting married on Friday, and they got into a fight over money. And he spent a few hours settling the dispute, and by the time he finished settling the dispute, it was already Shabbos. And he paskined that in this instance, you can get married on Shabbos. And he was the Mesader Kiddushin on Friday night to marry them off. And he took a lot of heat. All the people of the city complain, you're not going to do that. You're not going to get married on Shabbos. And he says you are allowed to, especially in this situation. And he knew exactly that he was getting into a lot of controversy, but he knew he had to do this. And because of that whole controversy, they decided never again, so especially never happened, so you're not allowed to get married in Krakow on Friday. He was a very great person, but what's so amazing about him is if you read his life, he was a very humble, down-to-earth, noble person. How old was he when he died? There's a legend that he was 33 years old when he died. That would be superhuman. To accomplish all of the sefarim that he wrote by the age of 33 would be impossible. Many people say that it's not true. He was more like 40, in his 40 when he died. And some say he was an old man, he was 80 years old. That's not very likely. But it's much more likely that he was probably about 40 years old when he died. It's very young. It's a baby today, 40 years old, he's still wearing diapers and drinking your alcohol from sippy cups. but he already accomplished everything by the age of 40 years old. He was the undisputed. Now, what am I telling this to you? Is because it's the antidote to Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer tonight is the Yom Hilula D'Rashbi. It's mysticism at its best, at its extreme. Okay, it's soon the celebration is going to begin. Just go online in 2-3 hours. You'll see what's going on in Meiron, Eretz Yisrael. Boy, I'm scared to watch. I'm going to see later in the afternoon. You go on the websites, the Jewish websites, to see what's going on, the live videos, what's going on in Meiron, and what's going to be going on in this neighborhood tonight. Okay, there's going to be a lot of smoke tonight. Okay, outside in the streets, and a lot of noise, and a lot of police all over the place tonight, and a lot of confusion tonight. It's the spitz of mysticism. But the Ribbono Shel Olam has a sense of humor. And he also arranged that another person died on Lag BaOmer. The spitz of normal. Of practical, down-to-earth as can possibly be, Yashrus, the Litvish of Mahalik, the Baal Musa, the product of the Musa element in Klal Yisrael, the normal, simple way of living without any mysticism. That's the Ramah. That's the Ramah. Could you imagine both of them share the same day? They both share, it's mamish, the two extremes. And we mentioned there's a baskol that comes out of heaven. This is the baskol. The baskol is Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. The world is not just about mysticism. The world is about following the rules of nature, of being practical, of Nohoig bohem minhog derech eretz. The Ramah, that's his message. That's his legacy. Down to earth, normal, straight yashrus, no mysticism. But also, it's Rashbi's yahrzeit. You're entitled to dream a little bit. You're entitled to have a little bit of a taste of you know, the supernatural. A little fun once in a while to fantasize and to get a taste of what goes on in the other worlds. There has to be a balance, obviously, and every person knows certain people are cut out for certain things more than others. But it's a baskal. It's an incredible hashgacha practice that Lag BaOmer is the day that we commemorate two of the greatest people in Jewish history who lived more than a thousand years apart, and one represents mysticism at its peak, and the other represents the Litvax, the Misnagdim, Minog Ashkenaz, the purest undiluted elements of the Misnagdim, of Ashkenaz, of just follow the rules, Nohoig Bohem Minag Derech Eretz. On the same day, you gotta be balanced. You have to learn how to be balanced. That's the message of Lag BaOmer. Rabbi said, thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful day. Hashem, see you tonight. We'll learn wherever we'll come at night. We'll learn at Siddur. And Hashem, see you tomorrow. Be well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's